28. Now, this verse will be coming up again in Sunday school, and then we will study it more in detail. And I am wondering tonight if a lack of understanding or a lack of receiving or acceptance of this verse is not the reason for some of the instability among some saints. It's easy to shout when things turn out, and it's easy to pout when things don't turn out. Someone said, with only the word, you'll dry up. And with only the Spirit, you blow up. But with the Word and the Spirit, you grow up.
Yeah.
That's what we're here for tonight. I trust that we all want to grow up.
Amen.
We all need both. We all need the touch of the Holy Ghost on us. And we all need to study the Word of God to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Would you agree with that?
Amen.
We need both the touch of the Holy Ghost, and we need to be saturated with the Word of God. I prayed recently. A few of you were there. God forgive us for our overactive natural minds and our underactive spiritual minds. God forgive us for our overactive intellects and for our underactive spirits. And then I said, by that prayer, I meant many times we would rather think things through than pray things through.
Yeah.
We need to think, but we also need to pray.
Amen.
We need to pray, but we also need to think.
Yeah. Amen.
Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Praise God.
And then over to verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose.
Praise the Lord.
Good.
Let's pray before we're seated. Lord Jesus, I pray that this scripture will be opened to our eyes that we might understand what You are doing in each one of our individual lives. Lord, surely there are people here tonight that are struggling with their trials.
Yes.
There are people here tonight, Lord, that don't understand why You are allowing some of these things to happen to them. There are people, Lord, that are desperate, and I pray, God, that You would use these words tonight. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord. I pray, Lord, You use those words to deliver people and bless people,
yes,
help people overcome. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. This is a powerful verse of Scripture. And it begins with a powerful statement. The statement I'm referring to is, and we know. Everybody say that. And we know. And we know.
Amen.
And we know. That word know there means we are sure. We perceive. It is clear to us. And you've heard me make this statement so many times in this church because I want us to let it sink in and help us in the time of that abandoned feeling, that forsaken feeling. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Just remember, when you feel forsaken, He's your God. Jesus said, my God, praise the Lord. When you don't feel something, you had better know something.
Amen.
When you don't feel God around you, you had better know that God is in you and God is with you according to His promise. So the statement says, when you don't feel something, you had better know something. Isn't it good to know something? We're living in an agnostic world.
Yes.
where experts admit they don't know anything, or they don't know anything for certain. They don't know anything for sure. Agnostic means we're dumb. We don't know. We're ignorant. We don't know. Agnostic, you know. A Gnostic was somebody that knew. An agnostic, somebody that doesn't know. If I was an agnostic, I wouldn't broadcast it. Yeah. I wouldn't go around with a placard saying, I'm stupid. I mean, let people find out for themselves. I don't have to tell them. Amen. Amen. But isn't it good to know something in an ignorant world? In a world that doesn't know anything for sure? A world in which the professor's opening statement to his freshman class is, now one thing we know for sure, nobody knows anything for certain. That's a fact. That card was given to me. That was the opening statement the professor made at the university to his freshman class. Anybody that knows anything, or we know one thing for sure, nobody knows anything for certain. But I'm so glad tonight that we can say with the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I'm glad that we can say with the Apostle John tonight, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And I'm glad we can say with Romans chapter 8 tonight, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Do you love the Lord tonight?
Amen.
Then nothing has gone wrong in your life.
Praise the Lord.
So you can relax tonight. Nothing has gone wrong in your life. If you love the Lord, nothing has gone wrong in your life. If you love the Lord, nothing has gone wrong in your life. Nothing can go wrong in your life if you love the Lord, because we know something. We are not agnostic about this thing. We know that all things work together for good.
Praise the Lord.
To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Are you called according to his purpose? Do you love God tonight? Then nothing can go wrong in your life. We know, we know, we know, Paul says over and over. And other apostles say it too. And what better thing is there to know when going through tribulation and facing adversity, imprisonment, or even death? What better thing is there to know than that all things are working together for my good? If they aren't, then I have to say, I don't love the Lord. And I am not called of God. And I don't have salvation. But I'm not about to say that, because I love the Lord, I am called of God, and I do have salvation tonight, and so do you. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now it says here, all things, and that means even those things that we don't understand. That means even those things that happen to us that we can't explain. Even those things that happen to us that we wish wouldn't have happened to us.
Yeah.
You ever go on a trip, have a flat tire, and then your attitude reveals itself? You know? Oh, you look out at that brand new set of tires and one of them is flat, and you say, that tire salesman talked me into these tires. You just wait till I get a hold of his neck when I get back from this vacation. Well, look at the inconvenience he's causing me. Just wait till I see him again. And so you kick the tire and you stub your toe and you sprain your ankle. And you look at the tire, and it's still flat. Didn't help a bit, did it? You feel bad after a while because you are a Christian. And you repent of that outburst of uncontrolled temper. And you open your Bible. And all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And so you repent some more and you ask the Lord, now how is this working out for good? The trunk is full of baggage, luggage, and everything, and the spare tires underneath it all, and here we are out in the rain on a muddy highway, and I got to take air. Oh God, how can all this be working out for good? Well, finally you get the tire changed, you get the luggage rearranged in the trunk, and off you go, and you're back on the road again. And then you look and you see cars in the ditch and you see ambulances driving away with mutilated bodies.
Yeah.
And you look at your watch and you ask somebody, when did this happen? And they say, 45 minutes ago. And you look on your watch and say, I would have been here 45 minutes ago had it not been for that flat tire. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. You might hear that voice saying, this is where you would have been had I not punctured your tire. Then you get back in the car, thanking the Lord for your wife and your life and your children and their lives, and you start singing Psalm 31. I will bless the Lord at all times. All times. Oh, that's what it says. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually, continually be in my mouth. Even when I have a flat tire, even when something goes wrong in my life. I told you about Brother E one time. My wife and I got to be friends with Brother E and his wife. And he had just bought a new car, a brand new 98 Oldsmobile. I forgot the year that this was, probably back in the 70s. And he was in California driving this brand new Oldsmobile, 98 automobile. And through a stop sign comes a carload of Mexicans and crash. They hit him right on the side of the car and total out his car. And instead of him losing his temper and getting angry, being the spiritually conditioned person that he was, knowing a few things from the Word of God, he jumped out of the car and he said, is anybody hurt? He checked the Mexicans all over, and they were just, they felt so bad. And they said, we're sorry. He says, don't worry about it. Let's go up to my house. And the police came and took care of it. He said, let's go up to my house. I'll give you a glass of tea, cup of coffee, whatever you need. And he witnessed to them there. And the whole family, I'm making a long story short, the whole family got saved. The whole family came to the Lord. And the insurance company bought him a brand new 98 Oldsmobile, 1 year newer than the one he had. Because it was right at that time when he got a bargain on last year's model, brand new. He got a brand new Oldsmobile out of it. Hey, what's the use getting upset, he says.
Amen.
I like what old Mac Wilkerson said when he stood here. He told me outside here, he said, when he had his heart attack. He says, I went into that operating room with peace in my heart. He said, if the Lord blessed the doctors and they did me some good and I survived the operation, I'm going to live for Jesus. And if I die, I'm going to be with Jesus. He said, I was in a no-lose position. And that's where we are, Christians. We're in a no-lose position with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, anyway, somebody asked me when I told this story one time, would God wreck a car to save a soul? And I said, oh, yes, he would wreck a fleet of cars to save a soul.
Amen.
Amen. Listen to this, what God would do for glory. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And God got glory out of that miracle. And if we will let God, he'll get glory out of our lives. And that fact, that's what he's looking for, and that's what he wants us to do. Praise the Lord. God is not as interested in our cars as he is in our attitudes. Should I say that again? God is not near so interested in our cars as he is in our attitudes. Maybe it would sound better if I said God is not so interested in our automobiles as he is our attitudes. Amen. I'll never forget a testimony that was given in that church building, but this church many years ago now. A lady in our church was praying, God, help us sell this particular house. Oh God, help us sell this house. And it didn't sell, and it didn't sell. So this dear sister started fasting and praying that God would help them sell that house. and she fasted and prayed and the house didn't sell. And all of a sudden it dawned on her, and she stood and testified this with tears in her eyes, and I'll never forget it. She said, I have fasted and prayed over the sale of a house. Have I ever fasted and prayed over a lost soul? Isn't that a good soul-searching question?
Amen.
God is not trying to save our cars and our houses and our possessions.
Amen.
He is trying to save our souls.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those who are called to walk according to His purpose. I think anything is good for me that abases my pride. Anything is good for me that strips the world from me. Anything is good for me that drives me closer to my Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Those are some heavy words, folks.
Amen.
Can you say, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him? Because He knows what He's doing, even when I don't. Praise the Lord. All things work together for good. Heaven is good. Salvation is good. Heaven's more important than the temporary pleasures of this life. So, if we're stripped of them, praise the Lord. I think maybe I'll go on to prove my point here. Philippians chapter 7. No, there is no 7. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. Listen to the Apostle Paul. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Would you just sit there a few moments tonight and meditate on those things that are gained to you personally? Those things that you probably love and enjoy? Those things that make you look good in the eyes of the world? Those things that bring comfort and pleasure to your life? He said, those, what things were things, remember, things is a key word tonight. Those things that were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things work together for good. All things work together for good. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, all my failures, all my successes, forgetting all those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as would be mature, as many as would grow into maturity, as many as be perfect, mature, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, listen to this, God shall reveal even this unto you.
Praise the Lord.
God is so anxious for our character development. God is so anxious for our spirituality that He says, if you get otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you, because it's God that's working in you to will and do of His own good pleasure.
Praise
the Lord. God has plans for us. We're going to rule and reign with Him. That's big plans. That's big plans. That's what Paul said. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Praise the Lord. And then Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. It's working for us. What's working for us? Our affliction, our trials, our troubles, our tribulation, our sorrows, our difficulties, our adversities, they're all working for us. You believe that?
Yeah.
You're going to think about it a while. Oh, praise the Lord. Listen to me. Our light affliction.
Brother Tim, Paul's affliction might have been light, but not mine.
I mean, all that happened to him was he was stoned and left for dead, and he was beaten, and he was whipped, and he had 195 wounds on his back, scars from being whipped those five times. Wow. And, I mean, Brother Tanner, all he did was hang on a board all night one time, and he suffered shipwreck another time. But I mean, it must not have been that bad, because Paul says it was a light affliction. Brother Tanner, I don't think he had it as bad as I have. I've really got it tough, brother. Our light affliction, Paul said. I want to explain this to you. Which is but for a moment worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Paul, how can you say that? I've read 2 Corinthians 11 and 12 and 13. Paul, I read about what you went through. It doesn't sound very light to me. It sounds a little heavy. Paul wrote, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. Wow. And Paul wrote, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Get that. Compared with the glory. In other words, Paul made a comparison. He said, I reckon. Paul did some reckoning. That word reckon means calculate. You know, you get out pencil and paper and you do this mathematical problem. It means calculate. I have done some reckoning, Paul says. I have done some figuring. I have looked below and I have looked above. I have looked behind and I've looked ahead. I've looked at the world and I've looked at God. And I am here to tell you, Paul says, it's a light affliction when I compare it with the glory that's going to be revealed in me.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. That's where Paul's coming from.
Amen. Amen.
He did not mean by itself it was a light affliction. He didn't mean that at all, because Jesus spoke to Ananias and said, I want you to tell Paul, and I want you to show him or tell him, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now Jesus said how great things he must suffer, and Paul is not debating with Jesus when he says our light affliction. Paul was saying, yes, Lord, I know it's heavy, and you know it's heavy because you said so, but you showed me your glory. You showed me what's coming after this life, Lord. And I look at that and I look at this, and oh Lord, you know too how light this affliction is compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. And saints of God, if you and I can keep our eyes off of our troubles, be they little or big, large or small, if we can keep our eyes on Him and on the future and on the glory that's coming.
Amen.
For you and for me. Oh. I have to read this again. I just told somebody this. He said, Jesus is coming for two purposes. He is coming for two purposes. Listen. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Purpose number one, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Purpose one for Jesus' coming is the destruction of the wicked, is the damnation of the wicked, is the penalty for the wicked. Purpose number two for Jesus' coming, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe in that day. Hallelujah. He is coming to destroy the wicked, and he is coming to be glorified and admired in you.
Amen.
He's going to hold you up before the world as his showpiece. He's going to say, "Ha ha! You world, with all your millions of dollars and your rehabilitation programs, could not rehabilitate this drunkard. But look what I did. Look what I did. I sobered him up. I filled him with my spirit and he quit drinking altogether. Look what I did for this man with a cigarette habit. Look what I did for this dope addict. Look what I did for this lust-laden man. Look what I did." And he's going to be admired in you and in me when he holds us up before the universe.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us.
Praise God.
So Paul compared the glory. Paul reckoned, and he came up with light affliction. You know, how many of you believe in ACE? Accelerated Christian
Amen.
Education.
Amen.
So do I. We can make the circumstances of life ACE. Accelerated Christian education. Our trials and our troubles and our adversities can accelerate our maturity if we will work together with him in bringing it to pass. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We can make the circumstances of life our accelerated Christian education. Pace one. Pace 1,000. Pace, and on we go. God works with paces, you might say. He will not graduate you from pace into pace two until you have passed pace one successfully. And he will not graduate you into high school until you have completed grade school successfully. Not in God's school of learning. He will not allow you to enter his college until you have your high school diploma, spiritually speaking. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
There'll be no learning gaps because he'll just keep you back until you've learned the lesson. Some people take their baggage and they move to other places. I'm not talking about people leaving the church to move other places. But when they're running away from a problem and you go somewhere else, you will meet the problem when you get there. First time you look in the mirror, because you are the problem.
Amen.
You got to overcome your problems. You cannot escape them.
Amen.
You've got to overcome them. You will not escape them, because they're all part of God's accelerated Christian education for you. They're all part of God's plan to bring you to maturity. They're all part of God's wisdom to bring you to conformity to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Praise the Lord. So, great lessons are learned in the school of affliction. And amazing results are brought about by adversity. This church ain't for me. Like somebody said, I'm looking for a church that'll let me live the way I want to live. I'm looking for a church where dancing's not wrong, because I like to dance. I'm looking for a church where a social drink isn't wrong, because I have friends that I want to have a drink with. I'm looking for a church that doesn't preach against, name it. Have you ever had anybody say that to you? Namesake to me, absolutely. But anyway, you and I who want to grow up in God, not dry up, not blow up, but grow up in God, we can take the circumstances of life and, working together with God, use them to bring about the godly character that God wants us to have. I have a suggestion. Since God uses circumstances to perfect our character, let's recognize God in every circumstance, in every circumstance in our lives. Think about that. If God, and He does, uses our circumstances to perfect our character, then let's recognize God in every circumstance. Your house burned down? Sick in your body? Your house wouldn't sell? Flat tire? Recognize God in every circumstance. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, "For we are laborers together with God." And once again, let me repeat myself. So many times we think we're going to help God and we're going to do so much for God and we're going to be missionaries or we're going to be pastors or we're going to be evangelists to help God out, when what we really learn is that it's God that's working in us more than we're working for God.
Amen.
Amen.
Like the little girl who said, "I'm going to help Dad paint the fence today." And Dad says, "Oof, oh, brother, okay." He gives her a paintbrush. First thing she does is put her little hand in the paintbrush down to here in the paint. So he had to go get extra rags and turpentine and clean her up. And then teach her how to paint a little. And she messed up the fence. And he had to go behind her and perfect her work. And then Mommy called Dad and daughter in for supper. "Thank you for this food, amen." And the little girl says, "Mommy, Daddy and I painted the fence today." That's just like our Heavenly Father in us. We make such a mess out of things. He cleans us up. He has patience with us. And yet He calls us co-laborers together with Him. But I would like to suggest to you that when it says, "For we are laborers together with God," that the biggest work God has is perfecting our characters. And so what we need to do is cooperate with Him in bringing about that perfection in our characters.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, you ain't shouting very loud tonight. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I said probably the biggest work God has to do is in us. So let's work together with Him toward that end. Amen. What do I mean by circumstances? Well, let me give you one example. A Christian married couple have a quarrel. How many are married here? How many are Christian? How many have ever had a quarrel? Oh, honest people here tonight. What an opportunity that affords us to practice the Word of God. I said, a Christian married couple have a quarrel. And I said, what an opportunity to practice the Word of God. He hollered at me. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Whew, found it just in time. But grievous words stir up anger. If I would have hollered back, I would have stirred up more anger. Oh, thank God for His Word. He hollered at me, and I gave him a soft answer. And that really helped. What an opportunity, an argument between a Christian husband and wife to practice the Word of God. to learn the Word of God. Amen? But he never says he's sorry. Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. We're having a contention here. I don't care who does it, the husband or the wife, who's ever the biggest, who's ever the most spiritual. Let him take the initiative. Let her take the initiative. If you have a baby, a spiritual baby husband, or husband, if you have a spiritual baby wife, who's ever the most mature, let him take the initiative, zip his lip, and open the scripture, and find out what it says about what I should do now. How can I practice the Word of God now? So God can build character into me. And remember, one defeat makes the next battle easier to lose. And one victory makes the next battle easier to win. Well, you start beating up on the devil, it gets to be fun after a while. You just, oh man, where is it? Just like that. Praise the Lord. Hey, that isn't bad. Oh, there he is again. Huh. You let him out. Just like that. Yeah. It's a good feeling. It's a good feeling to win, isn't it? You know it. It's a good feeling to win. Praise the Lord. Not an argument with your wife, though. That's not a good feeling to win. Okay. He never says he's sorry. Only by pride cometh contention. So what you need to do then is know that pride is present. When a husband and wife have a quarrel, pride is present. When a husband and wife have a contention, pride is present. And it's either in me or she. It's in one of us or both of us. So the thing to do is examine ourselves. Remember, he didn't say examine her. He said examine yourself. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Nowhere does the scripture say examine your neighbor. But it says over and over, examine yourself. Yeah. Go look in the mirror. Take the beam out of your own eye. Yeah. Then you'll see more clearly. But he gets angry and says things I don't think he really means. Proverbs 14:7. Go. Go from the presence of a foolish man. Go take a walk. I'm serious. I'm going to prove it. Go take a walk. Your husband's there. Or your wife's there. Go for a walk. Don't stay around and learn their ways. Right? Let me tell you what the Bible says. Make no friendship with an angry man. Honey, we were friends. But I'm going for a walk. And I want the Lord to talk to you. And I want the Lord to talk to me. And when I come back, we'll be friends again. Make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man thou shalt not go. Why? Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. What's wrong with going from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge? Why stand there and argue with your husband or wife when they're saying things they don't mean? Why hear all that when you can just go from their presence? According to the Word of God, go! Don't divorce them. Don't separate. Don't leave them. Just go. Go for a walk. Cool down. Come on back. Talk it over. I'm just reading the Bible. Go from the presence of a foolish man, and thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. I said, go for a walk. Don't stay around and learn his ways. Then there's another proverb in 18, verse 19. And I want to caption that with these words. Be careful not to offend one another. Husband, be careful not to offend your wife. Wife, be careful not to offend your husband. There are many proverbs, many scriptures that tell us to watch hasty talk.
a brother offended or a sister offended is harder to be won back than a strong city. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Brother, when you offend somebody, seek forgiveness as soon as you come to your senses. Amen?
Amen.
Because a brother offended is hurt so deeply, he's going to become untrustworthy. Or it's going to be hard for him to trust you. And he's harder to be won than a strong city. God has our perfection in his mind. God has our perfection in his mind. He said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Perfection, I said to my wife the other day, is not the issue. Perfection is the goal. Overcoming is the issue. Overcoming is the issue. So, everything that happens to us should bring us closer to Jesus. Everything that happens to us should work toward making us more mature. So, when an imperfection reveals itself in us, go after it with the Word of God. And it's circumstances, like I gave an example of a husband and wife quarreling, that give us opportunity to go after it with the Word of God. Don't just get angry and hope you don't fight again. Don't just get angry and wait for the next battle. Go after it with the Word of God and watch your character become more and more perfected.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, because perfection is our goal. That's what Paul said. Not as though I were already perfect, but I'm striving. Praise the Lord. So do you want to read something beautiful? Psalm 119. Psalm 119. In verse 11, David said, thy word have I hid in my heart. Because I've had problems. I've had adversities. I've had tribulation and trouble in my life. And so I've found that the secret to overcoming is putting the Word of God in my heart. And so he said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Huh? Okay. And then David went on in verse 65. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Now, what happened between then and now? Affliction. Affliction. Phlipsis. Affliction. He had trouble. And the trouble drove him to God's commandments. And he put those commandments down in his heart that when he had that trouble again, he might not sin against God and make the same mistake twice. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I've kept thy word. Thou art good and dost good, or doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. And then he makes this astounding statement. By the way, this is the inspired word of God. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Why don't we learn to look at our afflictions that way? Recognize God in every circumstance in life. And then get up from defeat and say, it is good for me that I was defeated. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. And David did. He hid it in his heart that he might not sin against God. And he came up
And he said, oh, it's good for me that I got beat up. It's good for me that I was defeated. It's good for me that I was afflicted. It's good for me that I lost. It's good for me that I suffered, that I might learn thy statutes. Oh, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. Isn't that good? I know, and we know, that all things work together for good. David says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. God is not a sadist. He does not cause us to suffer because he loves to see us bleed and hear us cry. Oh no, he loves us, and whatever he does or whatever he allows to come into our lives is for our improvement. It's for our good. It's for our spiritual maturity and growth.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. And then over in verse 97 he says, he's just saying all these things, and he's meditating and playing his harp and just having such a precious time before the Lord. And then he probably threw his harp in the air and he says, oh, how love I thy law. It's my meditation all the day. You ever feel that way? You're reading the Bible and you see how ignorant the world is, and you read it so plain in the scripture. You just want to just get up and jump and say, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Praise the Lord. Fantastic. Isaiah 48:10 says, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I just wonder. If that doesn't mean that God's a little more patient with us than the silversmith is with his silver. We're not refined with silver. I think it takes a little longer to refine us, is what I'm saying. Then he goes on and says, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. I have chosen to put you through the furnace of affliction, that I might burn away the dross, that you might come forth as gold tried in the fire. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 12:10. Talking about our parents, they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he chastens us for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Praise the Lord. For all things work together for good to them that love God. The question never has been, does God love me? The question always is, do I love God?
Amen.
I don't read where Peter said, Jesus, lovest thou me? But I read where Jesus said to Peter, Simon, lovest thou me? The question is, do we love God? The question never is, does God love us? For God so loved.
Amen.
So, I have to ask myself, if I think something's going wrong in my life, do I love him? If I love him, nothing can go wrong in my life. Tinnitus? Glasses? Bone spurs? Pulled muscle? Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Amen.
Nothing.
Amen.
You dare say nothing?
Nothing.
Nothing can go wrong in your life if you love God. I'm just reading the scripture. All things work together for good to them that love God. To those who are called to walk according to his purpose. Jesus said, if you love me, John 14:15, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. I hope I'm past the place where I have to check up on God to see if he loves me. But I feel like he's checking us out once in a while. I think also that we need to check up on our love for him.
Amen.
Amen. So let's learn this from the lesson tonight. When we don't understand, let's leave it in the hands of the one who knows best. Number two, let's learn to look for God in all these things. Let's learn, number three, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. You've read the story in Genesis when the sons of Jacob sold their brother Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. There was a famine sore in the land, the Bible says. And Jacob sent his sons to Egypt for corn. And the prime minister of Egypt gave them corn, but kept back Simeon as a hostage until they would bring back their youngest brother, Benjamin. The prime minister was pretty smart. He was talking to them in the Egyptian language through an interpreter. They didn't know that that was Joseph, their brother, who knew every word they were saying. So they kept Simeon hostage until they would bring Benjamin to him. The prime minister of Egypt didn't have to argue. So in the face of this, Jacob said, and it's recorded in Genesis 42:36, "Me have ye bereaved of my children," when they were pleading with their father to let them take Benjamin back to the prime minister of Egypt so they could have Simeon released. "Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me," Joseph said, and it's recorded in Genesis 42:36. "All these things are against me." It's human for us to feel that way when everything's going wrong. But have you ever read the outcome of that story? The book of Genesis ends this way, chapter 50, verse 20. "You thought evil against me, but I know God." Do we know God tonight? And I love God. "And you thought evil against me when you sold me to the Ishmaelites, when you threw me in a pit, when you blood besmeared my coat of many colors and brought it back to Dad. You meant to do evil." But he said, "My God, my good God, my wonderful loving God, meant it unto good to bring it to pass as it is this day. All things work together for good to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly to them. Saints, no matter how tough things get in your life, all things work together for good if you love the Lord. Don't check up on God to see if he loves you. Check up on yourself and see if you love him. Shall we stand?